Morning. So let's get this all set. So my name is Kevin Jameson, and it's a privilege to be here with you this morning. So thank you to open up God's Word with you. I was a pastoral intern 2 years ago. Now I'm an elder at South Shore Baptist Church. It'd be kind of weird for me to be an elder and a pastoral intern. I'd be like my own boss. That would be kind of awkward. So I'm an elder at South Shore Baptist Church, but I'm also taking seminary courses, and the ultimate goal is to plant a church in the town that I live. So I live in Braintree, you know, just south of Boston. And for my full-time job, I'm a high school teacher. I teach Spanish at Braintree High School. And I'm also a soccer coach there. So and I'm married. I have three sons, 24, 15, and 12. So there's never a dull moment in my house. So it's just it's a privilege to be here. And we're going to get into God's Word. But before we do, I know we've just prayed for, but I'd like to pray again. So you just join me in prayer. Holy Father, Lord, we know that without your Spirit, we cannot understand one word of your Scriptures. So, Lord, we ask for your Spirit, Lord, to reveal to us your Scriptures today, your Word. Lord, without your Spirit, I can't teach one word of your Scriptures. Lord, I ask for your Spirit to work in me, that I may simply be your vessel this morning to open up your word. And Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word, that you may touch our hearts with your word. And I ask that I may, through your Spirit, that I may boldly and clearly proclaim your message this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you that we can do this morning. We pray this through your precious name, Christ Jesus. Amen. So, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 9, but really the main emphasis is going to be on verse 1. But before we do that, as I said, I'm a high school teacher, and unfortunately, if you look at the date, summer is almost over, so I'm kind of sad. Soccer, for high school soccer has already started, so my summer's sort of finished, but not quite. But as a parent, so those of you with kids in school, you know that before school starts, you generally sit down, you have a little talk with your son or daughter, almost like a little pep talk before school, and you say, son, you need to, make sure you need to be good, you need to do your homework, behave, pay attention. The list goes on of these instructions to your son or daughter for school, right? And the idea is that if you do these things, if your son or daughter does these things in school, then it will go well with them, right? They'll get good grades. They'll be successful. So here, just with that in mind, that's sort of what we see here with Abraham. So God comes to Abraham, and he gives him a command: walk before me and be blameless. And you do this and, I will bless you. I will bless you. So just a little bit more context. What's going on around this chapter? So we have Abraham. First of all, in the beginning, he's named Abram. Right? God changes his name in verse 5 here. But Abram is 99 years old. He's 99 years old, and he's still waiting on the promise of God. Isaac has not been born yet. And if you go back, we don't have to turn back, but in chapter 12, that's when God first called Abram. Abram was 75 years old. So do the math, 24 years have gone by. 24 years have gone by. Abram is still waiting on God's promise to him to be fulfilled. He's still waiting. And God appears to him again. Chapter 15. This is when God makes the covenant official. You know, the covenant was made official by the shedding of blood. Okay, there was a trance, and God, there was an offering, and God walked through the offering. That was chapter 15. And this was before, so this was at least 13 years prior to chapter 17, because Ishmael had not been born yet. So God called Abram. He's 75. Abram believed. It's credited to him as righteousness. And through this process, Abram has a few stumbles. Okay, he lies about Sarah being his sister to the Pharaoh. But he has a few stumbles. But yet God keeps appearing to him. God has a covenant with him. And then Abram's 99 now. He's 99 years old. You know, what is he thinking at this point? God, what is going to happen here? And this is when God appears to Abram and gives him sort of like an extension of this covenant. Chapter 17, God gives Abram, it's the covenant of circumcision. Now, I don't really want to go into that this morning, but the idea is that God comes before Abram and he gives him a command, walk before me, be blameless, and I'm going to bless you. This is what I'm going to do for you. So, one other question before we get started. Abraham, you know, he lived 2,000 years before Christ, or 2,500. In other words, a long, long time ago. What does Abraham have to do with us? Why would we spend a Sunday morning talking about somebody who lived more than 4,000 years ago? And I think the answer, we see the answer in the scriptures. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, Paul writes to the Galatians, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So all who are in Christ, we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We belong to Christ. We are Abraham's seed. So I think it's worthwhile. So if Abraham, you could say, is our spiritual father, the things that that God teaches Abraham and, you know, connects with Abraham, how much more, you know, he's our spiritual father, how much more than us being the descendants, you know, will this apply to us? So it's good for us to know this as well. So let's look into the text. So we see in verse 1, Abram's 99, and the Lord appeared to him and says, I am God Almighty. The Hebrew for this, he is El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. He just appears to him. I am God Almighty. You know, just that alone. And just the fact that God is who he is. I mean, how many people can you just walk up to you and say, hey, I'm Kevin, do this. And they'll say, yeah, right, who are you? You don't have authority over me, but this is God. God Almighty appears to Abraham. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. And then just because of that, now God has, I mean, God is God. He has the authority. He can command Abraham. And he goes, you know, walk before me and be blameless. So walk before me. God comes to Abram, and if I could just say, I know that here his name is Abram, and in verse 5 he changed his name to Abraham. So rather than, just to make it simplified, I'm just going to use Abraham rather than go back and forth and get, so please bear with me with that. So this morning I'm just going to call him Abraham. So God appears to Abraham and he says, walk before me. Now put yourself in Abraham's shoes. God Almighty has appeared before you, says, walk before me. What do you think your reaction would be? I think my first reaction would be one of terror, of fear. We know Scripture says the Lord is a consuming fire. We are great sinners. I'm a sinner. God is holy and righteous and just. Woe is me. Ah, what would I do? Imagine how Abraham felt. I think it's similar to the last time. In chapter 15, we see, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And the very first thing that God says to Abram this time, he says, do not be afraid, Abram. Do not be afraid. Why do you think he would say that? Well, if God appears to you, I think the natural reaction, I'm in the presence of God. And if we look through the scriptures, think about when God appeared to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Different times, most of the time, when God appears to a man or an angel as God's messenger appears to a man or a woman, their first reaction is fear. So often, the first words they say, do not be afraid. So I'm sure that Abraham was, a little bit terrified. But yet, when we look at this picture, it's almost like intimacy here. God Almighty comes before Abraham, and he says, walk before me and be blameless. It's like God is telling him, walk before him in his presence, like Abraham could know God. Just a few observations about this, walk before me. For God to go to Abraham and tell him, walk before me, first of all, God esteemed Abraham. He esteemed him. He was considered worthy. This is not something that God often does, right? Appearing to somebody and actually speaking to him. There's not a lot of records of this, but God did it with Abraham. He esteemed him, considered worthy. God chose Abraham. Out of all the people on the earth, God chose Abraham. God appeared to Abraham. God loved Abraham. Notice, God appears to Abraham. Abraham is not consumed. No, and not only that, why does God appear to Abraham? To make a covenant with him. I mean, look at the things in this covenant are amazing. Who is Abraham that God is mindful of him, and yet God chooses to appear to Abraham, and he tells him what he's going to do. I will greatly increase your numbers. No, verse 4. God says, you will be the father of many nations. Verse 6, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants. So it's not just Abraham. God said, I'm going to bless you so much, I'm going to bless your descendants. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. God loved Abraham. God comes before Abraham, and Abraham is not consumed. God gives him such a tremendous promise. We know this promise is fulfilled through Jesus Christ, and we are descendants of that promise. That's amazing. So, what does it mean to walk before God, though? What does that mean? Sometimes, when I used to read this, I would imagine my head like a fashion show, and there'd be the catwalk, and Abraham would be, walking before God and say, God, how do I look? And, it's kind of funny, but I don't think that's not what is implied here. Notice, it's kind of funny. God, in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 17, God is the one talking. All right? He says, I'm God Almighty, walk before me, be blameless. Then in verse 3, what does Abraham do? He falls face down before God. So God says, walk before me. And Abraham's reaction is, he falls face down. So he's not literally walking before him. And obviously, Abraham's not sinning here. Abraham's response is the appropriate response. So God does not literally tell him, okay, do a little pirouette in front of me and walk around. No, it's a figurative statement, walk before me. Think about it, you guys, there's lots of beaches around here, and I love to go to the beach and walk on the beach with my wife. What do you like about walking on the beach with your wife or your husband? For me, it's beautiful, and just holding hands, walking down the beach along the shore, and there's great intimacy. You know, we talk, huh? It's romantic, okay? It's a great thing. So this sort of intimacy, that's what God is calling Abraham. Walk before me. I want to have an intimate relationship with you. To walk before God is to know God, to know him. To know him is to love him. And to love him is to obey him. Jesus said, you know, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So to walk before God is to know him. To know him is to love him. To love him is to obey him. God actually appeared to Abram. Abram didn't have the scriptures, but God actually appeared to him and talked to him. We don't have that. I don't know anybody here that God has actually visited and talked to. It would be great, but God has given us something else, though. God has given us his word. So how do we know God? We know him in his scriptures. This is where God reveals himself to us. So you want to walk with God, you must be in the scriptures, right? The scriptures point us to Jesus, right? God speaks to us through his word. We must be in the scriptures. And not just once a month, not just Sunday mornings, every day. You want to walk with God, be in his word every day, because you have to know God to walk with God. We know God through his scriptures. Several times in the Old Testament, this term, you know, walk before God or walking with God is used. And it's always positive. It's always positive, and it always carries with it God's blessing. Enoch walked with God. And God was so pleased with him, he didn't even die. God just took him up to heaven. Enoch. It's in prior to this in Genesis. Noah says, walked with God. And we know that God blessed Noah. Abraham, we see, walked with God. When we look at the history of the nation of Israel, so many of the Lord's promises to Israel in the Old Testament were contingent on his people walking with him. Of course, the opposite is true as well. How many times, you know, when there's a bad king described, it says, he did not walk with God, and these bad things happen. But to walk with God brings tremendous blessing. This is what God wants. David, in his charge to Solomon, right, in 1 Kings 2, verse 4, David says to Solomon, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me being God, with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. There's a famous verse in Micah. I'm sure many of you already know this verse. Micah 6:8. What does it say? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Abraham was commanded, walk before me. Clearly, walking before God, with God, is a vital part, is a key command. God wants this of Abraham, and we see through the scriptures, God wants this of his people. It's not only for Abraham. This is consistent throughout scripture. Walk with God. This is, God wants us to do this. 1 John, in the New Testament, we see this as well. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Walk before me. This is what God wants. So then we have a second part to this verse. Walk before me and be blameless. Blameless. In Hebrew, this word for blameless is tamim. And it doesn't mean perfect, as like God is perfect. Sometimes this word is used to describe God, and of course God is perfect, but when it's used to describe us, or people in the Old Testament, we know that these people sinned. You know, it mentions Job sinned. Job was tamim, blameless. Noah. So it doesn't mean perfect. But we'll see, we'll break this term down some. In the progression, once again, so Noah, Genesis 6, 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless, tamim, among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Moses, speaking to the Israelites in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 13, you must be blameless, tamim, before the Lord your God. Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2, this is a psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, tamim, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. God wants us to be blameless, just as he commanded Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. This command, just we see it over and over again. This is God's desire for his people. In the New Testament, we see this as well. You could say that being blameless is, it's related as well, like almost a synonym of holiness, right? 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, Peter says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. But what does this mean, though? What does it mean for us to be blameless before God? So we know we can't be perfect. We all sin. We sin. So it doesn't mean being perfect. And tamim, in other uses as well, the basic meaning is, in the Hebrew word is completeness, complete, entire or full, finished, mature, sound. So like I said, it doesn't mean that these people haven't sinned. We know that David sinned big time. Noah sinned. Job sinned. Abraham sinned. All of God's people have sinned. So it doesn't mean don't, you know, live your life without ever sinning. God knows that we sin. But tamim is more, it's a heart condition. God's saying, I want you to have an attitude of seeking God, to pursue holiness and righteousness. Serve God, to belong to him wholeheartedly, to be repentant, to be repentant. Yes, we sin, but we need to repent. Think about 1 John, when John says, if somebody keeps on repeating the same sin, you know, unrepentant, that person does not belong to Christ. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When we sin, we need to be repentant. We need to be pursuing holiness and righteousness. It's a heart attitude. It starts right here. And then our behavior follows that. So, application. How do we apply this? As Galatians 3:29 shows, we are Abraham's seed, and we are part of the fulfillment of God's promises to him. So one thing I want us to see today in the scripture is that God commanded Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. And we as Abraham's spiritual descendants, his expectations are the same for us. Walk before me and be blameless applies to us as well. And we see this over and over in the scriptures. But there's a big catch. And the catch is that I can't do this. I can't do it by myself. I could try as hard as I might. I can't do it. As Paul writes to Timothy, here's a trustworthy saying. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. How many of you can relate to Paul when he says that? We are sinners. How can I, a sinner, enter the presence of God? God is holy. Sin cannot enter his presence. So what am I to do? And we thank God that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself, not just our sins, the things that we did, but our sinful heart. Jesus died for our sins, but he also died for us. I have sinned, and I am a sinner. And Jesus took care of all of that, nailing it to the cross. So that now through his blood, I can now be clothed, or I'm washed. And because he rose, I can now be clothed with his life and his righteousness. So now I can come before God. I can walk before him and be blameless. We can walk before him without blemish or accusation. Through Jesus Christ, we can walk before God and be blameless. There's one other thing, too, though, is that notice that God, he came to Abraham and he gave him a command. He said, walk before me and be blameless. It's a command. He didn't say, sit down and I do all this stuff and you just watch. Right? In this area, God calls Abraham to participate. So our stance, our position before God through Christ, we are justified. We are innocent of all, we are free from all condemnation. Right? This is our justification. But in the process, there's something, this fancy word, sanctification. Sanctification is, so the moment that I repent and believe that Christ is who he says he is, God then starts to work in my heart like clay. He works in my heart. He's conforming me to the likeness of Christ. He's molding me into his son. He's making me more like Christ. This is sanctification. And this sanctification, God calls us. God helps us. He gives us his spirit. And God also calls us to participate in this. In Philippians, I was told that you guys have just finished studying Philippians, right? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling from Philippians 2. That's part of the process of sanctification. So in this, so walk before me and be blameless. We are called to participate. God helps us do it, and we are called to pursue righteousness, right? To walk before him and be blameless. So we have a part in this. So just in closing, there'll be a time. So Abraham walked by faith, right? He believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Today, we have to walk by faith. We can walk before God and be blameless by faith. But there will be a time when our faith becomes sight. Our faith becomes sight. And we will truly be in God's presence. We'll be able to see him and truly hear him. And in that time, if you thought about, you know, think about walking along the beach, literally, with God. What do you want him to say to you? What do you want him to say to you? That time that you are literally walking before him. I know what I want. I want God to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I pray that he may say the same thing for you as well. So walk before me and be blameless. And in the end, that he may say, well done, good and faithful servant. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we just thank you, God, that, God, who are we? We are sinful people. But you sent your son to die for us. And you rose and you give us your life. And now you come before us, God Almighty, and you tell us, walk before me and be blameless, Lord, that we can come into your presence and we may know you and love you and serve you and obey you. God, we thank you for this. And I pray that each day that we may wake up and we may walk before you and be blameless. and that you may help us do that through the power of your Spirit. So, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, we praise you, and we love you, and we just want to glorify your holy name. And we praise through your precious name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless. You are dismissed.